I convene the House Education Finance Committee to order, please. With that, our first item of business is the minutes for April 9th. Would someone like to move the minutes for April 9th?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Representative Jordan moves the minutes for April 9th. With that, are there any discussions on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The minutes for April 9th are adopted. Members, just to let you know, so tomorrow we're meeting back in our normal room at 10:30 to take testimony, and then on Wednesday at 10:30 as well to go over amendments. With that, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Clardy.
Welcome to your committee, Chair Youakim. So would you like to move House File 5237 before the committee?
I would like to move House File 5237 before the committee, Vice Chair Clark.
Also, would you like to move the DE2 amendments?
Yes, Chair Clardy, I'd like to move the DE2 amendment before the committee.
So the DE2 is before us, and we're going to start off with a nonpartisan to walk. Actually, we'll start off with Chair Youakim to present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Clardy. Members, with the DE2, we're going to talk about the DE2 before we come in. Yeah. Got it. Thank you. Thank you, members. Before you is the bill that builds on investments we made in our public schools last session, strives to put more teachers in our classrooms, keep more of our students in our classrooms, and bring student voices to the table when we're making decisions at the legislature. While we had a $43 million one-time target to spend, we do a lot with those dollars in this bill. I will hit the highlights and then turn it over to Tim Strom and Christina Pera from nonpartisan staff to do an overview of the bill language. And then Solveig Beckel, our fiscal analyst, will discuss the spreadsheets. So with that, last year we invested nearly $100 million in the READ Act to make sure our students are reading at a level that will put them on track for graduation. In this bill, we are building on that with an additional $37.225 million. Since the end of last session, Representative Adelson has been working very hard with our schools, our administrators, teachers, literacy experts, and the Minnesota Department of Education on what those increased investments should be focused on. The number one request from administrators and teachers was for more money to pay teachers for training they were receiving outside the school day and or funds to pay substitute teachers if the training was done during school hours. This bill has just over $31 million dedicated just to that piece. We're also putting more money into the regional centers and for our training partners around the state to continue providing the free training to our workforce. We provide funds to develop training for our professionals and volunteers, as well as those who teach our students who are deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing. We also provide funds to carry to work with experts to make sure the curriculum our schools will be reimbursed for is culturally competent. Finally, we provide needed flexibility for our school districts with the $35 million of curriculum funding that was originally set aside last year's budget. This funding, because of the way the timing was with the curriculum overview, was not set to go out until December 2024. We heard that our schools could use access to that money sooner than that as they plan for the next school year. The bill moves the distribution of those funds up and provides it in the form of direct aid to our schools. These funds can be used to purchase curriculum, intervention materials, and other items that are listed under literacy incentive aid. Those funds will be distributed or available to distribute by July 1st, 2024. That is over 5 months earlier than school districts expected to receive those funds and with much more flexibility. With a few different provisions in this bill, we invest in getting more teachers in our classrooms. We fund the Intermediate Special Education Apprenticeship Program from Representative Clardy's bill. We increased access and special ed teacher pipeline dollars with Representative Bennett's bill. And with Representative Tapke's bill, we made sure our pairs are getting the support they need as they work in our classrooms. We scaled back Representative Norris's bill a bit to create a student-teacher stipend pipeline The pipeline will have Pelsby distribute funds to 5 of our Minnesota State Colleges and Universities and 2 of our U of M campuses to provide a stipend for all student teachers that are placed in those in our school districts across the state during the 24-25 school year. Pelsby will then survey the students who receive the stipends to see if the money helps to remove barriers to completing their teacher training and if they applied for and received a teaching license after graduation. As we heard in testimony during committee, student absenteeism is also a very large concern for our school administrators and our families across the state. I would like to thank Representative Keeler and Representative Vakeberg for being willing to take a deep dive into the data around absenteeism and their proposed task force funded in this bill. While we did not have the $20 million to invest in Representative Sensenmura's full disbursements to schools to tackle absenteeism, we crafted a 3-year pilot program that we will have 9 school districts across the state to participate together in a cohort in collaboration with the Minneapolis School District. This demonstration project will provide the individual districts with funds and a lot of flexibility to create or enhance the programs within their communities with the support of students and their families and administrators with the goals of keeping students engaged in school and on the path to graduation. Schools will attend quarterly meetings, which can be virtual, school appointees, develop strategies to increase attendance and share with the cohort what is working and what may be sustainable and how they may be replicated in other schools. The legislature will receive the data being gathered in periodic reports throughout the pilot project. Data collected by the legislative task force and the student absenteeism pilot project will be used to identify best practices and build a framework for investment statewide. We also invest in the Minnesota Promise Fellows program from Representative Sensenmura's bill, and the Minnesota Promise Fellows, as a reminder, is an AmeriCorps program that focuses on engagement and attendance of students in grades 6 through 12. We also know how important it is for our students to be civically engaged and to have our student voices at the table when decisions are being made. With that in mind, we invest both in the Youth in Government bill from Representative Greenman and the Minnesota Youth Alliance from Representative Sensenmura. You know, personally, as I watch our students participate in the legislative process, I know that we are in really good hands for our Minnesota future. Last year's bill brought large investments as well for our students in the areas of special education and English language learners. 2 task forces were proposed this session to look at those areas of investments. We chose to fund those 2 task forces as well. Representative Hicks brought forward a bill to take a comprehensive look at special education paperwork and how our schools are meeting the needs of our students with special needs. Representative Clardy's English Language Learner Task Force will look at a variety of ways the increased per pupil funding for our English language learners is being spent, as well as how it's meeting the needs of our EL students as they progress towards graduation. Other one-time funding items include money for Pelsby to update their IT systems and funding for MDE to go through the 2-year-long rulemaking process for statewide health standards. There is a variety of no-cost pieces in our bill that adjust items from last year and provide more flexibility to our schools, like adding our cooperatives to the ALC transportation reimbursement program or the addition of the purchase of lunchroom tables from surplus school nutrition accounts. And there is language that continues the compensatory aid hold harmless provision past 2027. There are also a few no-cost items from the governor's bill that are predominantly technical in nature that we heard in 5237 in its original introduction. And finally, the tails target is where you'll find the VPK interactions with our levies and affixed to the school districts who had adjustments above the compensatory aid formula. We will continue our discussions around the best way to distribute compensatory aid to our schools next session. Members, we set the 2-year state budget last session. There is a smaller supplemental budget this session, and we have been provided with an opportunity to invest a little bit of that in the education arena once again this year. I believe we made good use of those funds in the piece of legislation that's before you, and I will now turn the presentation over to Tim Strom and Christina Parra to walk through the language of the bill.
Thank you, Chair Joachim. Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, members, there's 2 documents in front of you that you may want to look at. The amendment is in the upper right-hand corner labeled H5237DE2. There's also the House Research Bill Summary to the same document. And so as we go through the words of the bill draft, you can use those 2 documents for you. Madam Chair, I'm not sure if you'd like questions while we go through at the end of the article or at the end of the bill. So if you'd let the committee know your preference on that.
We can check at the end of the articles.
Perfect. Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Article 1 are the provisions related to general education. There's 19 sections in this article. And three or four are the same as the one listed in Section 1, where there's simply a clarification. Last year, as you may remember, the bill changed the kindergarten student weighting so that all kindergarten students are weighted the same. There's a number of places with the phrase without a disability appears. That's no longer necessary with the unified weight of kindergarten students. Section 2 is the ALC transportation aid. Representative Joachim talked about this provision a moment ago. There's no additional funding for this, but the transportation service itself can be run either by the school district or by the cooperative unit. Section 3 is clarification to the English Learner Program. There's a couple of parts of this. There's a missing cross-reference to a paragraph, and there's also a definition starting on the top of page 3 of qualifying English Learner Services. Section 4 takes the money that's available for the unemployment insurance and puts that on a 90% paid in the current year and 10% in the following year calendar. The previous, the provision that was passed last year was 100% payable in the current year. This change will allow the Department of Education to adjust the payment amounts after the end of the fiscal year with the cleanup payment. This is the same way that most other school district aids are handled. Section 5 on the bottom of page 3 is also an adjustment to the kindergarten weighting, where there's a couple of references to kindergarten students without a disability. Section 6, 7, and 8 relate to the, Section 6 relates to local optional revenue and simply sets the equalizing factor at the new level necessary to adjust for the VPK students. This means statewide, the overall amount of levy is unchanged, but individual districts will have slight increases or decreases depending on the number of the additional 5,200 and 200 VPK students that are picked up. So statewide, no levy change for individual districts. There'll be either a small increase or decrease depending on their share of the VPK students. Section 7 are the changes to compensatory revenue. There are a couple of parts to this, as the chair mentioned. Perhaps the three worth highlighting on page 7. The statewide cap on line 7.24 7.21 is provided for years after fiscal year 2027 as well, so the floor will be in place going forward. Second, the provision clarifies that if their district's total compensatory is under that floor, that the commissioner's authority to increase them must be done proportionately. And third, on line 7.25 to 7.27, those districts, the seven districts that were in the compensatory pilot programs, revenue is clarified that revenue continues on top of the new calculations for compensatory revenue. Section 8 is modifying the calculation of compensatory revenue to adjust to last year's intention from House File 5237. Section 9 is total operating capital revenue. And this is just a clarifying provision related to the way that the aid and levy split is determined. Section 10 is the change in the equalizing factor for the net tax capacity levies. This is done in the same way as the local operating revenue change and has the effect of keeping levies statewide at the same level that they're currently at, allowing adjustments for the VPK students underneath. Section 11 is a technical provision related to the way the transportation adjustment works. This language was brought to us by our Senate colleagues and is simply a clarification on how the aid and levy side and revenue side of that transportation adjustment should be worked. Section 12 at the bottom of page 9 is a technical change. And then we get to the appropriations. And unlike last year, where the appropriations will all come at the end, if an existing law is being modified, that will become before the new language. So you'll see the appropriations from last year's bill all amended right before the new language, uncodified sections. And you can see here the general education aid appropriation is modified. The aid for the one-room schoolhouse is also modified so that it's clear that that is an aid and not a grant in those two sections. Section 15 eliminates an old reserve within a reserve and requires that it's a bookkeeping matter essentially for school districts. Section 16 on page 11 establishes the Task Force on English Learner Programs. Some of that language has been rewritten slightly since Representative Clardy brought that bill to the committee earlier. Madam Chair, members, on the page 14, starting with section 17, is all new language. This relates to the student attendance pilot program. Essentially, what's happening here is nine districts are named and are instructed to work together to develop strategies for addressing student attendance. The participating districts are listed later in the appropriation. You'll see the amounts that are provided to each district. The districts are required to develop a working pattern, a series of working meetings where the nine districts cooperate and share strategies. The strategies on page 15 are listed that the district should pursue. And then at the bottom of page 15 is the reporting requirements. And this requires the nine districts to jointly submit a report at four different points in time to the legislature. Those reports should identify the goals and strategies that each district's using, get into the specifics on how the attendance counts are happening, whether those are handled consistently across the districts or not, and then also looking at, as Representative Keeler suggested, looking at different kinds of loss of attendance and dividing those into cohorts depending on the percentage of the school year that the student is missing. Those amounts, again, are all reported on the dates listed on 1518 to the legislature. Section 18 then establishes a legislative study group. This will be housed within the LCC. Four House members and four senators will be named to the study group. The duties are outlined of the student attendance and truancy issues that the group should consider, and then they issue a report as well with an initial report coming November 1st and a final report by the end of 2024. Then finally, Madam Chair, are the new appropriations for 2025, and you'll see the attendance pilot project listed at $3.34 million, the Minnesota Alliance of Youth's Promise Fellow Program at $1.5 million, the amount for the LCC for the Student Attendance Study Group at $64,000, and the amount for the English Learner Task Force at $117,000. And that, Madam Chair, is Article 1.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Are there any questions on Article 1? Okay, Mr. Strom, you can proceed. I'm sorry, Christina.
Madam Chair and members, Article 2 is the Education Excellence Article. And Sections 1 through 7 all relate to the adoption of statewide standards in health. Sections 1 and 2 add health to the list of areas for which statewide standards are required, but maintains local standards until the end of the 26-27 school year or when statewide rules implementing state standards are effective, whichever is later. Section 3 adds health standards to the statute for developing state standards and adds current students to the list of groups the commissioner must consider advice from in developing standards. Section 4 requires the commissioner to adopt rules for the health standards. Section 5 adds health standards to the 10-year cycle of review and revision of her standards. Section 6 requires students to complete enough credits to satisfy the state health standards. And Section 7 is more detail on the health standards. It requires the commissioner to begin rulemaking. It requires certain areas to be included in the expectations, and these are generally the areas that are already required under various statutes, along with mental health education, which is currently encouraged. And it allows the commissioner to include listed expectations and health standards that are currently encouragements under state statute, but also allows the commissioner to include other expectations identified through the standards development process. Sections 8 through 10 relate to the PTEC grants. Section 8 modifies the existing application process to apply to implementation grants. Section 9 removes an obsolete reference. And Section 10 divides the PTEC funding into different types of grants. The maximum support grant would not be more than $500,000 per year per recipient. The maximum grant, maximum amount of startup grants would be $50,000, and the technical assistance grants, mentorship and technical assistance grants, not to exceed $50,000 per grant. Section 11 changes the student eligibility for members of the Minnesota Youth Council from an age eligibility to being grades 8 through 12. Section 12 modifies the appropriation for the achievement and integration to accommodate the additional VPK seats in fiscal year 2025. Sections 13 to 15 amend the appropriations from last year, the ethnic studies school grants, full service community schools, and non-exclusionary discipline to make the fiscal year 2024 appropriation to let that carry forward into fiscal year 2025. Section 16 amends the PTEC appropriation. It adjusts the distribution and timing and awards the full 2024 appropriation to the Rochester School District. And then in the fiscal year 25 appropriation, $500,000 of that would be for Rochester, with the remaining money for startup and technical assistance grants. Section 17 is new appropriations, and you have there $150,000 for civic education grants to the YMCA, $750,000 for the Minnesota Youth Council, and $627,000 to the department for the health standards rulemaking process.
Thank you, Ms. Parra. Any questions on Article 2? You may continue with the presentation, Ms. Parra.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Article 3 on page 30 is the READ Act. Section 1 renumbers some of the statutes. Sections 2 through 4 our definitions. Section 2 is a new definition of certified trained facilitator, which is a person employed by a district or regional literacy network that has completed particular training and meets other requirements. Section 3 amends the definition of literacy specialist to strike a deadline for completing training. Section 4 modifies the definition of oral language to include sign language. Section 5 is the literacy goal, and it adds meeting grade level proficiency to the legislature's literacy goal. It also strikes a timeline for training requirements that you'll see that below in section 13. Section 6 requires districts to, well, section 6 and 7 both add a third screener for students. Under current law, students are required to be screened at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year. And these two sections add a mid-year screening to be completed by February 15th. Section 8 requires districts to use only evidence-based literacy interventions starting in the 25-26 school year. Section 9 modifies requirements for teacher and instructional staff training, modifies the literacy plan requirements, and requires approved training for classroom teachers and early childhood programs. Section 10 on page 36 amends the local literacy plan. It requires a district's plan to include the plan and timeline for adopting approved curricula and materials, the number of teachers and other staff proposed for training, and how the district used funding under the READ Act. It also modifies the commissioner's summary of the local literacy plans. It requires the commissioner to submit updated reports by December 1, 2026 and December 1, 2027. Section 11 relates to the screeners, and again, that's adding the third screener, and requires all district staff, contractors, and volunteers to use only screeners that are approved by the department. Section 12 is a technical change relating to the renumbering of statutes. Section 13, and this is where as I mentioned, the timeline for teacher training has been moved. So there are two phases for training to be completed. Phase one is for teachers and staff that must complete training by July 1, 2026. And phase two is for teachers that must complete training by July 1, 2027. It allows training provided by a department-approved certified trained facilitator to satisfy the professional development requirements. And it lowers the number of hours of required instruction by 5.5 hours, for the 24-25 school year only to allow teachers to receive training required under the READ Act if the district and the teacher's collective bargaining representative enter into an agreement. Section 14 relates to the department's duties under the READ Act. It requires the department to partner with CARI to approve literacy intervention models and post a list of the approved models, provide coaching and support to certified trained facilitators, collaborate with the publishers of approved curriculum and intervention models on updating the curriculum and materials to reflect students' cultural diversity and students' disabilities, and partner with the regional literacy networks to identify or develop training for paraprofessionals. Section 15 establishes a READ Act program account and a special revenue fund. Section 16 requires the department and CARI to identify or develop training for volunteers, develop a coaching and mentorship program for certified trained facilitators, and identify at least 15 evidence-based literacy intervention models. It also allows, but does not require, CARI and the department to partner to do another round of approval of curriculum supporting materials starting in 2033. Section 17 requires the department and CARI to conduct a final review of previously submitted curriculum by March 3rd, 2025, to review curriculum that is available to districts at no cost. And it requires the department and CARI to provide districts an opportunity to seek reconsideration of literacy intervention models that were not approved. Section 18 requires the department and CARI to identify or develop training for volunteers and other persons that don't work for a district that provide Tier 2 interventions to students. Section 19 requires the Minnesota Reading Corps program to use evidence-based reading instruction and interventions focused on structured literacy and provide their members training. Section 20 expands the uses of literacy incentive aid to include employing an intervention specialist, screeners, and stipends for teachers completing training required under the READ Act. Section 21 amends the appropriation from 2023, and this is modifies the distribution of the appropriation for curriculum and intervention materials, so funding would instead be distributed as aid to districts, charter schools, and cooperatives at the greater of $2,000 or $39.91 times the number of students served. And there is a material in your packet, a table, that shows how that amount of money would go out. Section 22 appropriates, modifies the 2023 session law and adds $4 million for professional development in fiscal year 2025. It requires the department to develop a data collection system for the local literacy plans and student screening data. It allows the funding to be used to provide training to fourth and fifth grade teachers and literacy professors from institutions of higher education. And it requires unspent funds to be transferred to the READ Act account in the special revenue fund. Section 23 requires Pelsby to conduct an audit that evaluates whether an approved teacher preparation program meets subject matter standards for reading and to report its findings to the legislature. Section 24 is a deaf, blind, and hard of hearing working group to make recommendations on literacy training, screeners, and curriculum for students who cannot fully access sound-based approaches. Section 25 has new appropriations, and the total there is $33,225,000 to go into the account in the special revenue fund. Most of that, $31,375,000, would be allocated to districts, charter schools, and cooperatives based on the number of teachers required to complete training. $1 million for CARI to collaborate with publishers of approved curriculum and intervention materials to improve the material's cultural responsiveness. $500,000 to develop training for paraprofessionals, $250,000 for training for volunteers, and $100,000 for the deaf, blind, and hard of hearing working group. And finally, there's a revisor instruction in Section 26 to renumber two statutes.
Thank you, Ms. Pera. Any questions on Article 3? Representative Bennett?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this might be a question that may be for Representative Edelson, but just curious why Reading Corps is called out specifically in the language. I know it's throughout many of our schools. I know it's also an excellent program that's already evidence-based and focus on structural literacy. So is there a reason why that's specifically in the bill, just that program and not maybe other funded, government-funded programs?
Representative Edelson?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Bennett. So Reading Corps actually has a very specific training, and so we have kind of essentially trying to accommodate them in the statute. So that's why.
Representative?
I'm happy to talk with you offline
okay.
if you want
we'll
to a little bit more because it
thank
gets
you.
Complicated, yeah.
Perfect. Any other questions on the article? Great. You can continue with the presentation.
Madam Chair, members, Article 4 is the American Indian Education article, and that is on page 50. It's just one section. And last year, the legislature allowed schools to carry over remaining funds for the first 6 months of the following fiscal year. This section allows them to carry it over for the full year.
Questions on Article 4? Continue, please.
Madam Chair and members, Article 5 is the teacher's article. That is on page 51. And the first section relates to paraprofessionals. It requires an evaluation. Generally, the provisions relating to paraprofessionals here require evaluation of the standards necessary to qualify paraprofessionals. So there's language in here relating to that. But one of the other changes is clarifying that cooperative units, the Purpich Center for Arts Education and Minnesota State Academies are subject to the existing paraprofessional training requirements and requiring those schools to work with paraprofessionals when developing the training programs. You'll also see here for the 24-25 school year, starting on page 51, line 23, a school can reduce the annual required minimum hours of training for paraprofessionals from 8 to 6 hours. And it requires the schools to pay the fees for paraprofessional training and testing for the 24-25 school year. There's also a requirement that MDE and PELSBY work with interested parties to adjust the paraprofessional test cut scores and the paraprofessional competency grid. Section 2 is the QCOMP statute, and this increases the basic QCOMP aid by the amount necessary to adjust for the additional VPK pupils. Section 3 requires QCOMP revenue to be reserved and spent only for the purposes authorized in the QCOMP statute. Sections 4, 5, and 6 relate to the Grow Your Own program, and Section 4 authorizes the four tribal contract schools to apply for a teacher preparation program grant. Section 5 authorizes a tribal contract school to apply for the secondary student program. And it allows grant funds to be used on scholarships to an institution that has an articulated transfer pathway with a board-approved teacher preparation program. Section 6 strikes obsolete language. Section 7 and 8 relate to the Special Education Teacher Pipeline Program. And Section 7 authorizes a tribal contract school to participate in the program, while Section 8 expands the individuals that can participate in the program to any school employee. Who demonstrates a willingness to be a special education teacher. Section 9 requires that when a scheduled instructional day is canceled for any or all of the school day, that school employees be paid their full wages for the day if the day is counted as an instructional day. Section 10 delays, this is the student support personnel aid that was established last year. And this section delays the impact of the fund balance penalty for school districts, charter schools, and cooperatives for fiscal year 24 only, and limits future year's fund balances to no more than the previous year's student support personnel aid. Section 11 amends the 2023 appropriation, which was amended by the forecast article that passed recently. And it amends the alternative teacher compensation aid appropriation that also relates to the expansion of VPK students. Section 12 on page 58. This is amending again an appropriation from last year for the Closing Educational Opportunity Gaps Grant to have any balance available in the second year of the biennium. Section 13 is the Grow Your Own Pathways to Licensure grants. Again, this is last year's appropriation and authorizes the commissioner to allow a grant recipient to modify its program to align with the statutory changes that are in the bill. Section 14 is similar language for the special education teacher pipeline, authorizing the commissioner to allow grant recipients to modify their program based on the statutory change. Section 15 expands the individuals that may participate in a teacher mentoring program to include Tier 2 as well as Tier 1 special education teachers. Sections 16, 17, 18, and 19 are appropriations from last year that are amended to allow the balance from fiscal year 24 to be available in fiscal year 25. Section 20 is the pathway preparation grants. And this allows the pathway preparation grants to be used to help Tier 1 teachers qualify for Tier 3 or 4 licenses. Section 21 is the student teacher stipend pilot program, and that is on page 63. The pilot program has 7 participating teacher preparation program providers. Each qualifying institution would provide a student teacher a stipend for the 12-week student teaching experience in a Minnesota public school. This excludes the income from the stipend from the recipient's definition of income for purposes of eligibility for certain income assistance programs, and requires Pelsby to develop and administer a survey of the student teachers that are participating in the program and interview a representative sample. And Pelsby would also report to the legislature twice, once by February 1, 2025, and a final report by July 1, 2025. Section 22 relates to paraprofessional requirement qualifications. It requires the department and Pelsby, in consultation with school administrators and groups representing paraprofessionals, to examine and revise the test cut scores and competency grid, and requires the new cut scores and revised grid to be implemented by September 1, 24. It requires the department and Pelsby to post the information on their websites and notify schools of the new standards. Section 23 is a new appropriation. It's a one-time grant of $1,030,000 in fiscal year 25 for the 4 intermediate school districts for their special education registered apprenticeship program. And Section 24 is an appropriation for Pelsby for the paid student teacher pilot program.
Thanks, Ms. Pera. Any questions on Article 5? You may continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Next, we'll turn to Article 6, the charter school article. This starts on page 67 of the Delete Everything Amendment. The first two provisions, sections 1 and 2, simply clarify that the Department of Education is actually approving the lease aid application and not the lease document itself between the charter school and its landlord. Section 3 is the appropriation for charter schools. This is adjusted upwards slightly for the additional 5,200 voluntary pre-kindergarten seats. Madam Chair, that's Article 6.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Is that all you got, Tim?
You may continue.
Madam Chair, Representative Cresha, much longer article now with special education in Article 7. This starts on page 69 of your bill draft. The first of these sections is the program approval language for the Adults with Disabilities program. There was some reworking of this program last year, and this provision simplifies the way that the information for the programs is included in the community ed report and approved by the Department of Education. The next two sections are new. This committee has not seen this language this year. Sections 2 and 3 relate to the medical assistance third-party billing provisions that were in last year's bill. Section 2 clarifies the types of activities that social workers will be doing that are included in that third-party billing. And Section 3 defines the term psychotherapy for crisis. Section 4 increases the special education appropriation for the additional VPK students. And Section 5 is the study Chair Joachim mentioned regarding the department to contract with a consultant in order to review the special education delivery and costs in Minnesota, and requires that that contract to be wrapped up in time to report to the legislature its results by January 5th, 2025. And finally, the Section 6 for this article is the appropriation for that consultant's report, and that is appropriating $440,000 for that purpose.
Questions on Article 7? You may continue, Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, member, the next article is Article 8 for school facilities, and these two provisions both allow, well, I guess it's slightly different. The first allows the carry forward of the grant money for the single-user restrooms, and Section 2 is the long-term facilities programs equalized aid amounts, and this adjusts that aid amount for the number of BPK students.
Questions on Article 8?
Okay. Madam Chair, members, Article 9 is the school nutrition and libraries article. The provisions this year relate entirely to school nutrition. The first of the sections is the bill the committee heard a few weeks ago regarding the lunchroom furniture. This allows those expenses, if a district is running a surplus for 3 years in its food service fund, to make those equipment purchases out of the school service fund, Fund 2, rather than out of the general fund. Sections 2, 3, and 4 are all technical. They're correcting the right place to put the 100% aid payments for the nutrition payments. Those are based on the accounts and paid monthly. They're done a little differently than the rest of the school aids calculations. It keeps them at 100% payable in the current year, but essentially recodifies the provision in the right subdivision that deals with nutrition programs. Sections 5 and 6, then, are the modifications to the appropriations for the slightly larger amounts necessary due to the additional 5,200 VPK students.
Thank you. Any questions on Article 9?
Madam Chair, members, Article 10 is the early childhood article. Really, Section 1 is the one doing all the work here. This section increases the number of students that may be served by the voluntary pre-kindergarten program from 7,160 to 12,360 for fiscal years 25 and later. That increase was originally to go in effect for 2026, and last year's bill contained money that was unallocated but intended for the program. This year's bill allocates that money for those 5,200 seats. There's then Section 2 relates to Head Start and allows the Department of Education to take up to 2% of the appropriation for it program administration beginning in fiscal year 2025. Section 3 is simply the carry forward language on the grant that was left out last year, and Section 4 deletes the separate one-time money from last year that was appropriated but not allocated for VPK.
Questions on Article 10?
And, Madam Chair, we'll finish with the state agencies article. There's one provision in this article that's technology money for the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Board. It appropriates $2.767 million for Pelsby for the purposes of their computer systems. And, Madam Chair, that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Ms. Beckel, would you like to go over the spreadsheets for us?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sylvie Beckel, House Fiscal. So you should have one spreadsheet in your pack that looks like this. At the top left-hand corner, it says House Education Finance, HF 5237-DE2, Education Finance Budget Bill, change only. And so this does not include the entire Education Finance, Department of Education, et cetera, budget. This just shows the changes made by the DE amendment in front of you. If you look to the top right-hand corner, you can see the targets that this committee received. That's $43 million for fiscal years 24 and 25, and $18.05 million for fiscal years 26 and 27. Moving down to the spreadsheet, these changes will all be general fund unless otherwise specified. Line 3 starts with the general education changes. Line 4 is the English Learner Task Force that has a cost of $117,000 in fiscal year 25. Line 5, the Minnesota Alliance with Youth Promise Fellows. This has a cost of $1.5 million in fiscal year 25 only, but that is available through June 30th, 2027. Line 6, the Student Attendance Pilot. This has a cost of $3.334 million in fiscal year 25, but is again available until fiscal year 2027 ends. Line 7, the Student Attendance Reporting. This has a cost of $64,000 in fiscal year 25 only. Then on line 8, you see the cost of the supplemental compensatory fix, and that does not have a cost in the current biennium, but has a cost of $13.918 million in the TAILS. Moving down to the Education Excellence area, line 12, the Civic Education Grant is $150,000 in fiscal year 25 only. Line 13, the Minnesota Youth Council receives $750,000 in fiscal year 25 only, but this is available through June 30th, 2027. Line 14 shows the cost for state health standards. This is $627,000 in fiscal year 25 only, but the process will take through fiscal year 2027, and the funds are available through that as well. Moving down to the READ Act, line 18 shows the 2023 session law Chapter 55 amendment to add $4 million to fiscal year 25 for professional development. Line 19 shows the teacher stipends or substitute teacher reimbursement appropriation, and this is the new funds that will transfer immediately to the newly created READ Act program account, and this is $31.375 million in fiscal year 25 only. Because it's transferring to a new account in the Special Revenue Fund, that just means those funds will be available until that fund is done away with in statute. So it's basically available as long as the account exists. Line 20 shows the CARI Cultural Competency Contract. This has a cost of $1 million in fiscal year 25. Line 21, the Department of Education Para Training. This has a cost of $500,000 in fiscal year 25. Line 22, the Deaf, Deafblind, and Hard of Hearing item. This has a cost of $100,000 in fiscal year 25. And then the CARI Volunteer Training Development costs $250,000. And again, all those items will transfer to the READ Act program account. Moving to the next page, and under the teachers article, line 27, the Intermediate Special Education Apprenticeship Program has a cost of $1.03 million in fiscal year 25 only, but that is available through June 30th, 2027. Then line 28 shows the total cost for the paid student teaching pilot. That is $7 million. Then there's a breakdown of the costs of different components of that program underneath. Line 29 shows the administrative costs set aside for Pelsby. That's $140,000. Line 30 shows the transfer to the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. This has a cost of $4.751 million in fiscal year 25, but is available through fiscal year 2026 and will be distributed to a number of different universities in the MinSCU system. Line 31 shows the transfer to the to the University of Minnesota Regents, and this has a cost of $2.109 million in fiscal year 25 through fiscal year 26, and again will be transferred to the University of Minnesota Duluth and Crookston. Moving down to special education, on line 35, there's a special education working group and report, and that has a cost of $440,000 in fiscal year 25 only. Next is the early childhood section. There is just on line 39, I'm just showing that this has no cost. It's in brackets, so it's not a cost, but it is carving out an administrative amount from a pre-existing appropriation for Head Start, and that currently sits at $35.1 million per year. So of the 35.1 million per year, 702,000 is being set aside for administrative costs. Line 40 begins the voluntary pre-kindergarten changes. Mr. Strom and Ms. Pera mentioned that numerous times throughout the bill, voluntary pre-kindergarten changes a variety of things in a variety of different articles. So you can look at those changes there. Of course, the largest change is to the general education aid because this is per pupil funding. There are also changes to the levy offset or equalization. That's when Mr. Strom mentioned the local optional revenue change and the operating capital changes that will keep the levies at a zero cost for the total state levies, but may result in adjustments for various different school districts across the state to their levy impacts. Then line 44, there's the achievement and integration aid, 45, charter school business or charter school building lease aid, 46, alternative teacher comp aid, 47, special education, 48, long-term facilities maintenance, 49, school breakfast, and 50, school lunch, and those are all the components that are impacted whenever you change pupil units. And so the last one that is related to VPK on this spreadsheet is the voluntary pre-kindergarten reserve reduction. That's the repealer that Mr. Strom mentioned of the $50 million that was set aside last year in session laws 2023 for VPK seats. It just wasn't determined how many, and now we know that it's 5,200 additional seats in fiscal year 25. So the total change for early education is actually negative $12,004,000. Line 54 shows the only change to the state agencies in this committee's purview. Pelsby receives $2.767 million in fiscal year 2025 for the educator's online licensing system. And this should also have an asterisk next to it, I'm afraid, because that is also available through June 30th, 2027. So now we're moving down to the special revenue fund changes. Before, I was just talking about general fund changes. On line 64, you can see the READ Act program account expenditure authority. So that's all the funds that were appropriated in the supplemental appropriation section of the READ Act. So $33.225 million will be transferred to the READ Act for those purposes identified in the READ Act in fiscal year 25. Sorry, that should be line 63. What is actually line 64 is the unemployment aid account, just showing the change from it going from a 100% paid aid to a 90% in the current year and 10% in the next year aid. So it's just the money being shifted around, but it is the same amount of money just in different years. And then on line 67, I'm showing the revenues into the READ Act of the same amount as line what should be 63. Finally, at the bottom part of the page, this is where you'd typically see a different spreadsheet because this concerns property tax levy changes. So this is not state funds exactly. This is the property taxes that counties will send to property owners and levy for the counties and municipalities around the state. And so these are the changes that will happen to the levies, and you can see on line 72 that there are $5.244 million in levy offsets in order to attain on line 82 total levy changes of zero to the entire state. And Madam Chair, that is the spreadsheet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Beckel. Any questions on the spreadsheet? Any other questions on the bill? Okay, hearing none. Chair Youakim, your final words on the bill? For today.
Yes, so members, first I want to thank nonpartisan staff for all their work and both our partisan staff for all their work over the last few weeks, and then also members' work over the last few months. And we'll go into more thank yous at the last hearing on Wednesday, but there's a lot of work that goes into this, and having that knowledge at the front of the table that is able to walk us through it is invaluable. So, members, thank you for your time and attention. This builds on the investments we made last session, provides our district's flexibility and funds for innovation, puts more teachers in our classroom, keeps more kids in our classroom, takes a comprehensive look at some of the larger investments we made last session, and brings more of our students' voices to the Capitol. I would appreciate your support as this bill continues to move forward, and look forward to the testimony tomorrow as well.
And Madam Chair? You can finish. I just have a general conversational question.
So we'll give the gavel back to the chair, and thank you for the thank you for your comments.
And Madam Chair, I mean, you can take the questions from there if you like. They just procedural for the next couple of days.
Oh, I just here. Yeah, I was going to talk about that when I get up.
Very good.
So first, the most important thing is please, please, please keep your copies of your bills and the spreadsheets in your packets, or keep them in your packets for tomorrow and Thursday or Wednesday. So I kind of went over this at the beginning of the committee, but tomorrow, 10:30 a.m., our regular room, we'll be taking all the testimony. By 4 o'clock that day, if you could get all your requested amendments to nonpartisan staff so they have time to work on them before the 6 p.m. deadline, feel free to get to them sooner, please, if you can. And then 6 o'clock will be the amendment deadline tomorrow night. And then Wednesday, we will meet again at 10:30 a.m. here in our room to go over the markup and voting it up. Representative Lee, do you have any other questions?
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for that. So just to make sure I have all the finer points, thank you for all that. Thank you for your staff, Polly. I know that a lot went into this, and as well as all the nonpartisan staff. So thank you for that. Just a couple of questions. So we'll have testimony tomorrow. Do you have an idea? Have you started to get as to what that list of testifiers will look like? And if there's going to be time limits on there, it's not that we're trying to load it. I'm just curious. So anybody that may show up, what their expectations might be.
I'm getting a note written to me right now. likely 2 minutes, as we've always done, okay. Unless, you know, probably maybe three for the larger organizations, but on specific bills, maybe just 2 minutes.
Okay. And then if just helping us out tomorrow, if you could just let us know if we have questions, whether you'll want. And just think about this for tomorrow. If you want us to address those the testifiers as they're coming up or save them to the end, I want to be expedient as best, but what would your expectations be?
We would be saving them till the end.
Okay, so we'll save all our questions for the end. And then so then moving forward on the amendments, we have 222 at this point. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what we're going to have. But just we'll give you a reasonable number. I'm not sure what we're going to do yet. So, but thank you for the time ahead, and I'm assuming that'll go fine.
Great. Thank you, members. With that, we are adjourned.